In a world where being different often means being isolated, the story of Jacob Portman offers a refreshing alternative. What if your strangeness was actually your superpower? Jacob stands at the precipice of two worlds, the mundane reality of his Florida hometown and the extraordinary realm of peculiars with supernatural abilities. What makes this journey so captivating isn't just the fantastical elements, but how deeply it resonates with our universal desire to belong while simultaneously embracing what makes us unique. The third installment of Ransom Riggs' best-selling series takes us deeper into the peculiar world, where vintage photographs come alive with supernatural storytelling. Jacob has discovered his peculiar ability. He can see and control horrifying monsters called hologasts that are invisible to everyone else. This talent, once terrifying, becomes his greatest asset as he navigates a world where time loops create pockets of eternal yesterdays and children with extraordinary abilities hide from those who would exploit them. What if the very thing that makes you feel like an outsider is actually your greatest gift? This question pulses through the narrative, challenging us to reconsider how we view our own perceived weaknesses and differences. Standing inches from a hologast in a ruined London Underground station, Jacob discovers he can command this nightmare creature in a language he never knew he possessed. With his peculiar friends captured and Miss Peregrine taken, Jacob faces an impossible choice: return to normal life or risk everything to save his new family. When whites trap them at the escalator, Jacob instinctively commands the hollow to attack, a moment that transforms him from reluctant participant to active hero. This pivotal scene marks Jacob embracing his peculiarity rather than fearing it. Haven't we all faced moments when we realize we can't return to who we were before? Jacob's journey mirrors our own coming-of-age experiences, those crossroads between comfortable familiarity and the uncertain path of authenticity. As they navigate London, using a comic convention as camouflage, they follow the trail toward their captured friends. The physical journey parallels Jacob's internal one, moving between worlds, belonging fully to neither, yet finding strength in this liminal space. Following Addison, a talking dog with exceptional tracking abilities, they discover a hidden dock where a hooded boatman named Sharon ferries them to Devil's Acre, the most depraved and dangerous slum in the whole long history of London. This Victorian hellscape represents peculiardom's dark underbelly, where unusual abilities are exploited rather than celebrated. Sharon's tour reveals disturbing landmarks: an orphan prison, an empty asylum, and Smoking Street, burning continuously for 87 years. Devil's Acre serves as a stark reminder that even magical societies create underclasses. When attacked, Jacob instinctively commands his hollow to defend them, realizing their growing bond makes them potentially unstoppable. This connection teaches Jacob that controlling his power requires understanding, not suppression. Amid this desolation lies Loosh Lane, where peculiars sell their abilities as services, a practice Emma and Addison find immoral. This moral complexity adds depth to the peculiar world, showing it contains the same ethical gray areas as our own reality. Following Lorraine reveals Devil's Acre's darkest secret: imprisoned peculiars treated as commodities. Whites regularly take peculiars and return them with erased memories and nightmares. More disturbing is ambrosia, a black liquid enhancing peculiar abilities while creating dependency. It contains little bits of our stolen souls, Sharon explains. Kidnapped peculiars' essences are extracted and fed to others, turning them into unwitting cannibals addicted to their own souls. This mirrors how we often consume others' essence to enhance our power. They discover a caged hologast used for blood sport. Jacob uses hollow-speak commands to control it, stages a fight, and they escape with the hollow and two imprisoned grim cubs. Jacob's relationship with the hollow challenges our perception of monsters. What if the things we fear most aren't inherently evil, but misunderstood? His compassion suggests empathy can extend beyond comfortable boundaries, even to perceived enemies. At Bentham's magnificent house, they meet Mother Dust, a healer who creates healing powder by rubbing her shortened arm, literally wearing away parts of herself to heal others, contrasting sharply with soul-stealing White's. Bentham reveals his house is the Panlupticon, designed to unite peculiardom by connecting time loops worldwide. His brother Call sought Abaton, a special loop storing peculiar souls after death, like a library where souls could be borrowed and returned. He confesses to taking a piece of Jacob's grandfather's second soul for experiments, hoping to give other peculiars the ability to see hollows. This weakened his grandfather, explaining why he left peculiardom and was eventually killed. Bentham's technology ultimately became the precursor to Ambrosia. When testing his repaired machine, Bentham creates 87 potential escape routes to other times and places. Their plans collapse when a messenger parrot, supposedly from Miss Peregrine, explodes, revealing Call knows their location and wants Jacob alive. Inside the White's fortress, Call reveals he needs an eyedropper's worth of Jacob's soul to access Abaton, the mythical library of peculiar souls. While Imbrani's helped unlock its entrance, Jacob's hollow controlling abilities are essential. Call plans to rule peculiardom and eventually subjugate the normal world. When Jacob refuses, Call releases a hollow. During the fight, Jacob considers drinking ambrosia but recalls Miss Peregrine's wisdom that true strength comes from within, choosing between shortcuts or trusting inherent capabilities. Jacob discovers he can control hollows without speaking, experiencing dual consciousness that lets him puppet multiple hollows simultaneously. With this power, he assembles 11 hologasts to fight Call's White's. The confrontation culminates at Abaton, a vast alien cityscape with crimson stone spires punctured by thousands of doors in a honeycomb pattern. When Call merges with a giant soul, transforming into a creature of raw power, the peculiars combine their abilities against him. The brothers' final battle, both transformed into crystalline giants, destroys the chamber, releasing centuries of captured souls in bursts of ethereal light. After Call's defeat, the peculiars discover everyone in Abaton during the loop collapse had their ages reset, now aging normally like Jacob, one day at a time. This liberation from temporal stasis delivers the book's message: embracing change leads to fuller lives, despite potential loss. Back home, Jacob struggles between worlds until his peculiar friends arrive unexpectedly, demonstrating their abilities to his shocked parents. Reuniting with Emma, they agree to take things slow now that they have time. Those might be the three most beautiful words in the English language: we have time. Library of Souls shows our greatest strength lies in sharing power, not hoarding it, and celebrating differences rather than fearing them. Jacob's evolution from ordinary teenager to Hollow Master represents the ultimate coming-of-age story, discovering that what makes you different makes you powerful. The series resonates because in a culture demanding conformity, the peculiar world reminds us that our differences might be extraordinary strengths, and the monsters we fear might be beings we're uniquely equipped to understand.